A very good morning to you. Whether you're in Cornwall or further afield, it's good to be together. I was reading something this week, and it said, if anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. That's from Proverbs 27, verse 14. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor in the morning, if you wake up early and you bless your neighbor loudly, it will be taken as a curse. I like blessing my neighbors, but I've decided to change my routine, and now I plan to lie in bed until well into the morning so that nothing can be misconstrued. I'm going to forget about breakfast. I'm going to move straight on to brunch. The only issue being that brunch time and church time is the same time. So I hope you don't mind if I just finish what I'd started. Hang on there for a minute. It's good. Are you looking at me? You're saying, what are you eating? Is that what you're saying? Well, it's fried garlic and... No, fried garlic and anchovies. With a little coriander. Oh, you're saying yuck? That's quite all right, I think. Oh, you're saying yum, that's fine. Somebody's saying yuck, somebody's saying yum. Well, I'll put it down for the minute. I'll have the rest later. But immediately we seem to have got ourselves into the yum, yuck, yum, yuck, yum, yuck wars. You know those wars, very dangerous wars. All I said was garlic and anchovy, and off we go. We're into the war. Words stir our emotions. They cause us to imagine things, to see things, to want to touch things, and to smell things. Words go a long way, a long, long way. Speech is about communication, as you know. Wouldn't be any point unless it was. It's about praise and rebuke. It's about encouragement and discouragement. We won the game. We lost the game. A child learning to speak, and the parents are saying, yes, 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 and the child speaks. Bam Bam. Do you know Bam Bam? Those are my first words. Bam Bam, my parents told me, meant grandpa. Of course it did. Of course it did. You know that. Immy. We're praying for Immy. What are we praying for Immy? We're praying a lot of things for Immy. She's had a major operation, a huge operation. And Karen and Murray are saying, we want Immy to speak. And we've been praying. And Immy has been speaking. And there's more to come. In the university, once the exams were all done, we would have to do a viva voce, which meant we got set up, individually, set up in front of a row of professors who all looked pretty smug, I have to say. And I say that as somebody who sits that side of the bench now. But they all looked pretty smug, and they would ask us to talk, speak, tell us what you know. Which bacteria causes acute dental pulpitis? I've forgotten. The bride's father gives a speech. I've given the bride's father's speech twice. Not because somebody wanted to hear it again, but because I had two daughters who got married. And the thing is about the bride's father's speech, nobody actually ever wants to hear it again, but it is part of not just the ritual, but the celebration. It's important that it happens. Speech is a human characteristic. Most people can speak. I say most people because obviously some cannot. But where did it all begin? The earth was formless and void, and God spoke. And what did he say? Let there be light. And there was light. And he said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let dry ground appear. And that happened, and that's why we're here. Well, in a sense, that's why we're here. We're really here because God said, let us make man and woman in our own image. Our own image, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here we all are. Top of the morning to you. We didn't ask to be here, but we are. And we've got to make the best of it. We've got to find a way to live life well. God speaks today. How does he speak today? Primarily through his word, the written word, the word of truth, to enable us to live well. And the book of Proverbs addresses the idea of truth. If you read Proverbs, there are tiny little cameos going on all the time. The good and the bad, the good and the bad, the good and the bad. He talks about truth. Solomon talks about truth. But he also talks about fake news. Yeah, he was the first one, wasn't he? And people who say one thing and do another. And so in Proverbs 26, 24, it says, enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but in their hearts they harbor deceit. That's 26, 24. But look at 24, 26, and what we get is an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Fake news or a kiss on the lips? Which would you go for? In the book of James, James talks about the tongue. He says it's one of the smallest things in the body. It's one of the biggest to the dentist, I can tell you. But it's one of the smallest things in the body, and it can do great damage, just like the rudder of a ship, which can steer a ship into a safe harbor or onto the rocks. Proverbs speaks of a gentle tongue being able to break a bone. You'll find that in Proverbs 25:15. If you read the Message version of the Bible, it says, gentle speech breaks down rigid defenses. That's something we need to note. But Proverbs also speaks of a boastful tongue. It's no good, it's no good, says the buyer. This is Proverbs 20:14. It's no good, says the buyer. Then goes off and boasts about the purchase. Again, in the Message, the shopper says, that's junk, I'll take it off your hands. And then goes off to boast of the bargain. I'm going to look at three things, fairly briefly. Firstly, getting bigger than our boots. Secondly, getting even. And thirdly, getting joy to where it's needed. The first one is getting bigger than our boots. And you'll find this in Proverbs 27, verse 2. I know about getting bigger than your boots because I borrowed somebody's boots just 2 days ago and I couldn't get the left one off again when I came back from a walk. I had to have some machinery, farm machinery, and a load of mules and cattle to pull the boot off. Otherwise, I'd be wearing it now. Getting bigger than our boots. Don't believe your own press reports. Get your feet on the ground. Remember where your talents and skills come from. Getting bigger than your boots speaks of boastful individuals and a boastful society. I can tell you, if you have a quick look at our society, you will find areas where that is true. There's a boastfulness about our society, who we are and what we do. It can be ugly. It's far away from where God wishes us to be. Again, a boastfulness can come out in control freakery. We often talk of people as control freaks. I think everybody's a control freak. Isn't that right, Sarah? What? Well, control freak who says, I know best. Do it my way. I am the judge. I am the jury. You have no choice. One of the previous prime ministers was called Tina by the cabinet. Was called Tina. There is no alternative. Control freakery. But there are so many ways of doing nearly anything. There really are. You can make porridge in many, many ways, and you could probably do dentistry in many ways as well. Don't be too scared. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine to do it like that. We know in management studies, there are the three rules of Smith. There are the seven functions of management, and there are the five SMART goals. I went out one morning to get a paper and came back, and Jane said, where have you been? I said, I just popped out to get something to, I want to read about Berbatov's 4 goals. And she said, you management freak. I said, no, he plays for Tottenham. There we are. You can't eat fried garlic and anchovies for your brunch. You must have scrambled egg and bacon. Really? We need to make space for others to breathe. Let's remind ourselves that we are not the center of the universe. Yes, it's important that we have rules for life, but rigid thinking we must be careful of. Scripture says this, consider Jesus, Philippians chapter 2, you know the passage. Consider Jesus, though he was in very nature God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he made himself nothing. By taking the nature of a servant, he emptied himself, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. And that's our model. So let someone else praise you. Don't get bigger than your boots. Let somebody else praise you. And even then, when they do, bow the head. So that's getting bigger than our boots. How about getting even? And you'll find Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22 is helpful here. It says, do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. I'll get you. Wait for the Lord, and he will avenge you. We all do it, don't we? We all do it. And we might not look as though we do it. We might soak it up and be like that. But when somebody wrongs us, what's the first thing that comes to mind? I'll get you. I'll show you. You'll be sorry. Countries do it. There are conflicts everywhere. I'll drop my bomb. Oh, I'll drop my bigger bombs on you. It happens in politics, happens in business and social settings, and even on the soccer field. See how many red cards there are because somebody's responded and said, I will get you. And they have. A couple of months ago, Jane and I went to stay with our son and daughter-in-law and granddaughter. They were having some work done, so we couldn't park in their driveway. Had to park round in the next street. I was just getting out of the car, and a man came and said, why are you parking there? It was unrestricted. There was space. I said, well, because I've made a choice. He said, that's my house. I said, yeah. He said, if you don't move your car from in front of my house, I will follow you home and I will park my car in front of your house. This is true. What? Has anybody ever said that to you? I moved the car. You say, you're saying, no, you didn't move the car. Well, I did move the car. Two reasons, really. First of all, he was built like a rugby prop forward. And the second thing was, I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know what was going on in his heart, what had happened in his life, what he was going through now. And I felt that I should move the car. I had the option to do that, and so I did. And maybe we ought to, I didn't actually say to him, by the way, you're in Hampshire, I live in Cornwall. If you want to follow me home, it's a long way. It says in the scriptures in 1 Peter 2, verse 11, dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. And then this bit, it says, live such good lives among the pagans that although they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And I felt that that was my motivation. I want to glorify God. I want this gentleman, whatever his problems, not to be at war with me, yum, yuck, yum, yuck, yum, yuck, and all that stuff, but to somehow meet with the living God. So we need to train ourselves for times which come to all of us when we feel aggrieved, ignored, relegated, spurned, criticized, without reason. And we need to train ourselves not to fight like with like, We didn't learn Christ in this way. Remember, we are sinners saved by the grace of God, and Christ suffered immense pain to achieve this for us. There is another way. It's called counterculture, Christian counterculture. Ah, you say, but you don't know what's been done to me. I can't simply sit back and say nothing. Christ did. Our timescale for action is not our own. This proverb says, wait for the Lord, and he will avenge you. You ask, how long is that going to take? Well, the timescale is God's. Maybe it's eternity. Do we really need to know? Some more scripture. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And that's the way I feel about the gentleman who spoke to me. Please remember, there's got to be a judgment. I think Linda said earlier on, all these things that go on in life, human trafficking and far worse than that. Not even worse than, well, terrible things. Maybe, just maybe, our vindication isn't as important as God offering freedom to our antagonists. I'll just say it again. Maybe our vindication isn't as important as God offering freedom to our antagonists. So, that was about getting even. We've looked at getting big, too big for our boots. We've looked at getting even. And the last section here, getting joy to where is needed. And the theme running through our service this morning is actually hope. So even getting hope to where it is needed. This is Proverbs 25:13. Like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time. You wouldn't be reading this any other time, by the way. You wouldn't. Like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. He refreshes the spirit of his master. And it's a relief to any master to know that a messenger is reliable, will do the job well time after time. Are we known to be like this in our work and wider life? I hope so. Or do we start well and then fall off the plot? Are we radiators or are we drains? Well, the older we get, the more problems we have with our plumbing, so I shall leave you to answer that one personally. In the Message it says, this is the translation of this particular proverb, reliable friends do what they say, and they are like cool drinks in sweltering heat. They are refreshing. I hope people say of me, he refreshes my spirit. There are times when I will not. There are times I don't. There are times I don't feel like it. Is that familiar? We ebb and we flow like the tide. But helping to improve other people's day isn't a bad aim. When people are hot and bothered and weary, this is important. This year, have your hopes been dashed? Or have they at least fallen short of where you wanted to be? Are you saying, let's just get this year out of the way? Has it all been rather a disappointment? A bit like a Kleenex in your jeans, put in the washing machine, and you have to do it all over again and pick the bits out. God is for us. God is for us, not against us. God has laced this life with snow-cooled drinks, with good news. That is running through life, no matter what we face. And those under the cosh need a snow-cooled drink in the heat of the day, and we may have an opportunity to provide it. Just now, our country and our world are desperate for relief from the worry and the anxiety of all that's happened. And Isaiah addresses that and puts it so well. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger bringing good news, breaking the news that all's well, proclaiming good times, announcing salvation, telling Zion, your God reigns. Let's pray together, shall we? We thank you, Father, for the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the good news of the mountains and the snow and the cooling off of things which get too hot to handle. And for the way you give us choice in order that we might serve you and bless others. And so, Father, we ask that you'll be with us this week. And that you will show us more of yourself and your heart and your understanding so that we might speak your words and encourage others and do it your way. You are the control freak in some respects, Lord, and we thank you for that. We're happy with that. Not a problem for us. Amen.